Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunters' leading home builder.
She's at the Moth Club. He likes candles in the bathtub. She loves a ricotta solo. He lives a carabolo. We start to pull a dealer. The bloke and the Sheila. Their boss is always in despair because their meetings happen on air.
And Steve.
Live from Honeysuckle and across Newcastle and the Hunter. Celebrating 10 years.
Good morning.
Hello.
Welcome to Thursday. It's party day.
It is party day.
Yes.
It is.
Finally, we've arrived.
Isn't this where we should be running around putting chairs out?
I know.
Name cards.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of name cards. Did they think of that chair or good?
A thumbs up.
Did you hear in the opener they have meetings on air?
It's true, because there's nothing worse than not having name tags at a function like this.
I know. Exactly. No one knows who we are.
I know. Yeah. No, but it's nice to be able to use people's names.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of, hey, you in the purple shirt.
Or you, mate.
Yeah, we really appreciate it too if you maybe place them a little higher.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah, maybe on their forehead. It's going to be easier.
So are we excited?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Have we had a shower yet?
God, no, I always save. I thought I can't have a shower yesterday. I'm going to wait for tomorrow to be clean.
Oh, my God.
We've got some more invitations to go throughout the show today as well.
Oh,
I know Sarah and JR have some too as well.
Do they?
Wow. Yeah, they've got some as well. So some last-minute ones all across the day today.
Well, let's try and balance it out. Basically, who's got something on a Thursday?
Mm.
So you know what I mean? They're probably going, I'm free.
Well, yep. Late-night shopping.
Oh, well, you're right, Steve. You're right, that is still huge.
Very. So if you can actually give that up for tonight.
Every night you and I are always hanging out, aren't we? Hey, yeah. Late night shopping.
Is that still a thing, do you reckon?
Well, yeah, if
for
you
teens.
Need to.
But like, remember back in the day it was like so
huge.
Many people. Yeah. Do you reckon still many people go?
Well, it's nice to go because the shop's quiet. So if you need
shops
something.
Are very quiet.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm too used to, I was actually in Kmart Waratah last night at 10:30.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, I had to get a mouse for a computer.
Right.
I say had to.
At 10:30.
At 10:30. Yeah, yeah. But hence that, they're open all the time. Like, that's just a world that we didn't know so many years ago, did we?
Isn't that funny? That would not be my go-to for a, tech. But
no.
I know they have it.
Yeah.
But it just would not be my go-to at Kmart.
Normally me either, but at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
When things were breaking down, I went, I'll just have a quick look. I had a look, and it all worked great, and it was all fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say. I just thought, okay, the computer's, the mouse is broken, that's not working. And off I went.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe how many people were in there.
Mm.
Not one person were wearing pants, all in their PJs.
Do they have magic mice or just mice?
I had to get a hard wire.
Okay.
Looking for a hard wire, but yes, there are plenty of the
magic mouse.
Yeah,
what's a magic mouse?
Keyboards.
Without a cord.
Fancy.
they must be a new fangled thing.
Yeah.
Poppy's impressed, Steve.
So how does it pick up the computer? Anyway, so many questions. I'll ask later.
All right.
So yes, the tech department had all of that wang-fangled gear.
Wow.
I came home, the mouse had hooked up and everything worked.
Excellent.
It was like, there you go. So hello to everyone. There's a lot of people at Kmart at 10:30 at night.
Did you buy anything else? Like, did you have a little look through, like a little wander?
Might have had a browse and try to get something I don't need.
Do they have any Polly Waffle Bites? Because they're back and I can't find them. I'm desperate.
It's funny you say that because I popped into Coles on the way, who was also open, just to look.
Not there?
I don't know what's going on with
them. Oh, well, if anybody's found any Polly Waffle Bites.
They?
Yeah, well, I know people have, though. Where are you getting them? Are you smuggling them across the border from Victoria or something?
That's
illegal.
What's going on.
Illegal Polly Waffle Bites.
I have seen, like I said, haven't seen them on the shelves yet.
No, I have not either.
If anyone has got a packet of these Polly Waffles, bring them to us here.
Mm.
All right.
We'll swap you for a ticket to our party.
That's right.
That's a great idea.
That's cool. We got our own contraband. Or you can have a T-shirt.
Oh, EB Jerry saying, no, we won't do that. It was a great
idea.
It's
our party. And I can invite who I want to. Isn't that a song? Oh, no, that's I'll Cry.
Throw in a different word, you can do what you like.
There you go.
I'm still completely puzzled that Jerry would actually think I'd do something he said.
He's laughing.
Working for us.
Tanya and Steve. Newcastle's 102.9 Triple M. You can win your invite to our party very soon on 133353.
On the line, you'll never know what you'll find.
Oh, my God. We both
gave it to laugh when we woke up, mate.
If you haven't seen it, you will, because I'm sure it'll gain more and more traction as the day goes on. But whilst we were sleeping, Donald Trump was hard at it. Now, it's been over a month ago that we held or saw the Oscars ceremony, right?
Oh, yes.
A month ago.
Oh, terrible show.
Donald Trump is in court, could possibly go to jail. But what's on his mind? The Oscars from more than a month ago, and in particular, Jimmy Kimmel. So he posted on his own social media, because remember, Trump was banned from Twitter and everything else.
Yeah.
So he created his own social media platform called Truth Social.
Speaking of which, you know, if he gets back in, which I've got a fair bit of money on, he'll get the president Twitter feed back.
Absolutely he will. And where will it go?
I know.
Anyway, so overnight, he's just done this rant without punctuation. It's just this one stream of consciousness. And it simply goes along the lines of stupid Jimmy Kimmel, who hasn't still recovered from his horrendous performance and big ratings drop as host of the Academy Awards, especially when he showed he suffered from TDS, commonly known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, to the entire world by reading on air, blah, blah. He goes on. But he talks about the classic choke that Jimmy Kimmel suffered. One of the biggest ever shows in business, and to top it off, if you got to say the famous and mandatory line, and the winner is. Trump was referring to the big picture moment, and the line was forgotten.
Yeah.
But not by Jimmy Kimmel. It was Al Pacino. Have a listen.
10 wonderful films were nominated, but only one will take the award for Best Picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that. And I will. Here it comes.
It was hard keeping Al awake.
It was.
And Maria is see Oppenheimer.
So there was no the winner. We got to go to the nominations. It was all a bit of a mess for poor old Al Pacino.
Yeah, it was. It was way past his bedtime.
But it wasn't anything to do with poor Jimmy. He's having a field day with Donald Trump. But why would Donald be worried about something that occurred, he gets it wrong, and it's a month old?
Yeah, he's probably thinking about something about him that didn't involve the court case. But it had to be about him.
It's really bizarre, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And Americans still turn out in droves and probably will install him back in the White House.
Yes.
It's so bizarre.
It is very bizarre. He is a very, very, very unhinged man.
Yeah.
And an absolute liar that gets away with it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, and it's that, you know, that if you, that's a Seinfeld lie, but it's true. He lives by the theory, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Well, yes, true, true.
So if you just keep saying it.
But can you imagine Australia if we had a candidate for the PM role and he carried on, or she carried on, like Donald Trump?
Yeah.
We would castrate that person.
Yeah.
That would not occur in Australia.
There's no one rich enough that we can't fire.
Yeah.
Unlike Trump.
Pretty much.
It is true, though. And it's such a different world, though, isn't it? Parties. I know Republican and everything, but the party would just get rid of them.
Yeah, but the people look at that and still want to have that bloke really in the way.
I don't know if we'd castrate them. Maybe we'd just try to get them out of office.
Well
I don't want to rain on your parade, but a lot of people voted for a bloke who ate an onion. But I get what you're saying.
Like,
I just sit there, though, and you know what? I sit more concerned about Biden than I do about Trump.
Mm.
He should, really.
Yeah, but he's gone downhill in the job.
No, sure.
Yeah.
But he's still he wants another crack.
Yeah, he does.
You know, it's kind of like, Bobby, it's bloody dinner time. So they're the two American candidates, and that's what's ahead of us in the free league.
Leaders of the free world.
Sorry for them. Their choices.
The only thing we can all rest with is we've got someone saying, like Putin, in charge of the other great world power tenure.
Oh, that's my God.
Isn't it? When you look around.
Yeah.
I really wish Boris was back in.
Exactly.
When you look around, what's running the show? And I mean the world show.
Yeah.
He'll get back in, and then do you reckon he'll go back on X, right?
He won't be allowed. But he's still not allowed to.
So
I'm curious how they will manage that.
Yeah, true.
That's why Truth Social is his own platform.
Yep. We'll be on the verge of World War III and Trump will tweet. Anyway, back to the Oscars.
It's Triple M. Daniel and Steve.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home.
Turn it up loud.
Tanya and Steve take you inside the gym. Calendar.
G'day, Jimmy.
G'day, Tanya. How you going?
Good.
I'm taking on the dogs, but isn't it nice that we've had a little bit of a rest this time round?
Yeah, for everyone, and I'd say, safe to say, most of all, Kalyn Ponga. Yeah, that extra couple of days might just be enough to see him play on this week on Sunday. And that, we know, is going to be crucial.
Well, we're playing, it's basically two of the bottom teams, let's be honest. So they kind of, this is one of the ones they think they should win.
Well, they should, but the Dogs, look, they sit one spot behind on the ladder, same sort of start of the season, 2-4, but they've been getting better, haven't they? I mean, last week, fair to say, they probably could have beaten the Storm, as you could have said the same about the Knights or the Roosters. So both smarting, I guess, a little bit off 2-point losses. I can tell you, it's a far different Bulldogs to last year. Remember those two victories last year? Combined score of 108-6.
Yep. Well, the only way they would win was when Adakar intercepted.
That's right. Yeah, well, I think we'd all agree it's a far different Dogs squad this time around. Far more resilient. They hold themselves in the games a lot longer. In fact, they really drag teams into a dogfight. Pardon the pun. So, and I think that might be the same sort of situation on Sunday. But I'm hearing some positive news that Kalyn is going to be there. Certainly, that's the feedback I've been getting. But I guess Saturday's going to be the big call. If he can get through the captain's run, then he's absolutely fine to play. But until we know that for sure, I guess he's still a wait and see.
Who would they put at fullback, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good call. We were kicking this around after the call the other night, and Dane Gagai has done it before. That would probably be one of the suggestions, but they have named the young guy, I'm just trying to find his name on the bench now, David Armstrong, who I actually saw in the trial, and I quite liked. It'd be a big ask, though, club debut to deputise for Kalyn at fullback. So they've got him there as cover, but it's a difficult one because you move Gagai there, then you have to move a whole range of things to cover one spot, or you go for Armstrong and say it's a like-for-like. So, look, they've named him for a reason. They obviously think he's close to being up to an NRL debut and to weaken other areas to fill Kalyn's with Gagai moving around. Yeah, it'll be an interesting one. Maybe they do go with the young guy. Be good story if he gets his debut.
Imagine that, though. The next, like, I know the team was named earlier in the week, but imagine the week that David's had. How many people in his ear, what kind of extra stuff he's doing. It's an interesting time in his life, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a good time. You've got to, it's what you prepare for, isn't it? Yep. It's what you train for. He had a little bit of a taste. He was very good. I'm not sure if you remember the first trial match they had at the Central Coast. He was really strong. Yeah, look, it was a depleted Shark side as well, but you can only play what you can play. He looked confident. He looked good. Look, if there's a time and a place that he's going to have to do it, perhaps it's a side like the Dogs that aren't, you know, one of the higher teams in the competition, and you'll have some strong teammates around him. But let's just hope that Kalyn can get through. I can tell you, he put to bed any concerns about his resilience and his toughness the other night. What he managed to get through in the first half alone was strong. To then get Needle up, come out and play arguably even better in the second 40 against the Roosters, I think typifies just what sort of a captain he's grown into.
We're just lucky Joey wasn't the coach. He would have dragged him off in the first half.
He wasn't happy, was he, Joe?
No.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I'd say those within the four walls of the club know what they're doing. And if you get that wrong in terms of the treatment, then you render him useless for the rest of the game. So they seemingly got it right because he was very good in that second 40.
Mm.
No team's getting flogged, though, because you said it at the start there, Jim. No team where you're going on. I mean, Gold Coast probably the weakest-looking team, but you know, we're not getting the big giants. It's like you say, 2 points, 6 points.
Yeah. Then there's the Bunnies, though. They're not going through a flash.
God. No. Fish put a dagger through the hearts of other Bunnies fans. It's just, got away with that being hearing. Yeah, you're right.
And everyone's blaming everyone else.
Yeah, well, it's just starting to even out a little bit, isn't it? Like, everyone's just starting to get their toe hold into the... You know, well, we're seven rounds in now. So you've gotten over those first few weeks where things have been a little bit not quite connected, and now teams are finding their groove. And I can tell you, I think the Dogs... I hate using the word ambush because you know what time the game's on. It's in the diary, right? You know what's coming. But, yeah, I just get this sense they're really gearing themselves for something. And, like, Viliami Kikau has been playing like the old Viliami Kikau. And I think his matchup on that edge with Dylan Lucas, well, that's going to be real education for a young man on the rise, because Viliami Kikau, you look at his stats, his tackle busts and his line break assists are the big ones. His ability to get other players into space. That is going to be a major underline on the tip sheet for the players this week, is to try your best to shut him down.
All right, Jimmy, we'll find out Sunday, and hopefully, because we are getting to that stage again now with the Knights, where if we are not ahead by the first half, we go, oh, well.
Yeah, we start writing the season off.
So, quick to write them off. You,
and we're still scarred from the 2010s.
Yeah.
I know. Come on, let's be brave and bold. Look, it'll be a tough. It'll really good battle. But hopefully sunny Sydney afternoon. It'll lend itself to some points.
All right, we'll hear you on the radio on Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. Thanks, Jimmy.
Go on, your crew. Have a good one.
You too.
Should be, and it's a cool stadium, so all the Dogs fans will be there. So it'll be a good 5,000 crowd.
Yes.
Doesn't look great atmosphere, does it, when they're playing in those big stadiums?
Yeah.
How close can the cameras zoom in to make it look busy?
Exactly. It's Daniel and Steve. This is Newcastle's 102.9 Triple M. 7 o'clock today, your chance to win a grand with our $1,000 minute. And don't forget, our 10th year birthday bash is happening tonight at Harrigan's Cameron Park. Your chance to win some tickets happening throughout the morning as well.
Feel better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home.
Turn it up loudly,
ask a question without notice to see what your responses will be. And anyone listening, love you to ring in and tell us your honest answer to this one.
133353 is our phone number as well, just putting it out there.
So I know that this is not a scenario that you probably will find yourself in anytime soon, but just say you are.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a bus. It could be a train, any form of public transport, actually. So there you are. You step on, you find your seat, and you're busy on your phone or reading your Kindle or whatever you're doing, and you see, I'd say, a woman in her maybe 30s or 40s get on. She isn't struggling.
Yep.
She's just got on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no spare seats. Do you offer up your seat just because she's a woman?
Nah.
Not at all?
Nah. Not the one you're describing.
No.
If it was an elderly woman, absolutely. If it was a heavily pregnant woman, absolutely. If it's just a woman just like me, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the world.
That's an interesting one, because there's been a few scenarios play out and people have got their heads in their phones.
Yeah.
They're not looking around, because we don't tend to these days.
Not on the bus.
No.
And, anywhere.
And
as soon as people sit, the phone comes out.
Yeah. And so a few of them were, there was a bit of a social experiment conducted.
Yeah.
And a few of them were stopped after they got off the bus and said, there was a young woman there and you didn't offer your seat. No, well, equality. This is what kept coming back. If you want equality, you're going to have to stand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then they said, well, no, but there was a pregnant lady and there was also an elderly lady.
There you go, see.
And you didn't see them. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you did. But nobody got up for them either.
Yeah. Oh,
because our heads are in our phones.
Yeah, true.
So I'm just curious what your moral stances, you've already said, pregnant and elderly.
Always would, and also if I'm with a child, point out to them, hey, up.
Yeah.
And I would do that. But for the younger, no.
And that's where we're at this point in history where the word equality keeps getting thrown back.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, it didn't matter whether you were pregnant, didn't matter whether you were elderly, a man would always get up and give his seat to a woman.
Yes,
I'd probably still would go, oh, did you want a seat? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
still
you're trying to hook on, mate.
A married father of four trying to hook on.
We're merely talking about chivalry, my friend.
No, I don't know. Unless they're like 20, but if it was like a similar age woman, I don't know. Yeah, but then I'd be like, I'd feel awkward asking these days.
Yeah, you know how old you are, mate, when you get on the bus now and they get up for you. No, sit down, man. I'm all right.
I'm not middle-aged yet.
Look, honestly, T, even with that, what you just said, we are in such a world of confusion, aren't we? On so many levels.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
We don't know. We're eggshell on the planet.
Yeah. And I'd rather talk about it than people get cranky about it.
Yes.
And, start putting videos up on social media look at these jerks, they didn't get up for me. Because that's what's happening.
Of course they do. Yeah. And it gets, exactly. It's social media and then thumped around, people outraged all that year. What do you reckon, Mark?
Yeah, well, you touched on it with the equality, Matt. You kind of, as a bloke, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't these days.
Yeah, it is confusing.
I'm 57, I'd probably stand up, no worries. But I'm just as likely to kind of get abused. Oh, don't you think I'm capable of standing on my own 2 feet?
Look, a lot of people actually responded that way, Mark.
Yeah.
And I am curious, has anyone been attacked because you tried to be chivalrous?
Once I was attacked, no, but once it was certainly a bit of a dirty look.
Yeah, okay.
When I actually was walking into a building and opened the door, and I actually waited and held and let her go.
Oh, in. What?
And she was just by me.
Mm.
And it was kind of, it was just a look.
Yeah.
It was like, you're all right.
Yeah.
Nathan's at Maitland. Hey, Nathan.
Yeah, 100% when it comes to the seat. I travel a fair bit, and I do 100% especially. But I found it's very much expected that roles reversed. Recently when I was at the Red Hot Summer, we had a friend with us that's undergoing some treatment for some cancer, and a lot of us were surrounding him because he's quite weak at the moment. And I had a lady abuse me because I didn't let her go in front. I explained the situation. And she didn't care. She said that little bit of manners wouldn't go astray from a male for once. So I found it quite confronting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of what we're saying, Nathan. Mm. It works. It's going one way.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is an expectation, not from everyone. I always hold the door for a bloke. I'll hold the door for anybody.
Yeah. So, well, see that's
I think just manners.
Yeah. It's a good point. See, that's you're right. If it was a guy, I would have done. Maybe I would have gone in together, whatever. But the same, it's just manners.
It is. At the end of the day, if you're confused, just put good manners in place.
Pretty much.
Can't go wrong, hopefully. Simon's in Newcastle. What do you do, Simon?
Well, I would do it, but yeah, I'm the same. Everyone's taking the words out of me now. You're damned if you do it, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure you'd be happy just to have someone to open the door for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a female call in. Shelley. Hello, Shelley.
Yeah, hi, guys. Look, I think as far as the bus and trains and stuff like that go, any public transport, I'm 55 and I would actually get up for a male or a female that was older than me or a woman or a woman with a child.
Yep.
Again, it's just manners.
Yeah, that's right. But having said that, we've actually just spent a couple of days away with our family and it's amazing how many times, like at a caravan park, you would normally walk around and be able to have a chat with people. But these days, everyone's just got their heads in their phones and there's no communication at all.
Yeah.
Shelley, you've just full stopped the conversation with how it started and that was part of this social experiment. Mm. People were pulled up for not getting up for elderly people and pregnant people. And it's because they had their heads in their phones and they didn't see them.
Mm.
And they were embarrassed. A few of them, not everybody, but most were embarrassed that they were right beside an elderly lady struggling to hang on.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it seems to be our go-to at the moment too. And as you say, talk about it. But, you know, the fear of talking about it because you'll get labelled something, right? Because you have an opinion.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like the gender thing is out of the window. And I don't mean male, female.
Mm.
It's they, them, that the gender thing is gone mad.
Mm.
And no one knows what to do anymore.
If we just employ good manners. And
social etiquette.
Manners.
Regardless of what frock or pants anyone's wearing, then we should be okay.
As you said, if that was me, you know, when I was talking about the doors, like, look at this dinosaur thinking we can't open our own doors. Put online, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it's just basic common decency, isn't it?
Partly cloudy this morning. We are expecting some rain to come later on, some showers, tops of 25 in the city, 26 for Maitland and the Valley. Showers developing again tomorrow, and it's going to be wet over the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. We are expecting some wet weather.
Something I did yesterday, Tanya, and we have been talking about it on the show and off air as well lately, but I realised I did this thing, and I thought, Tanya's never seen that before in her life. From our friendship of well over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya has never, ever seen this.
Better be a pants on segment.
Oh. Well, I'll go to the commercial break, mate.
Okay.
Actually, everyone knows you have, so. Well, if you haven't, you just go by my description. And you know what it is?
What?
My handwriting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right.
Really? Why? You know, A, I'm left-handed.
Yep.
Dyslexic, the whole bit. And to bring up to speed, and if you've been through Medicare, you'll understand, but I've got to send some checks, but it's through the post from Medicare to doctors.
Mm.
So I had to get envelopes. I had to literally go to the post office inside. Weird. And I got envelopes with the stamp on it.
Oh, you can buy them that way, yes.
Right? Didn't know that.
Look how surprised he is.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, what?
I had my tongue ready to lick the stamp. But, and then I didn't do it there.
Right.
I took them home. because I was getting quite anxious.
About redressing them?
About writing, thinking, oh no, my writing's so bad. They won't.
And you're dyslexic, as you say.
Yeah, who knows where they'll end up?
Yeah. Mumbai.
The North Pole.
I know. And another thing, right? So you write the address, you do all that, and then on the back, you know, it's supposed to say, right, you're an. Well, I didn't. None of their business who I am.
Did you not do that?
No.
Because that. It's
return
if it goes
to sender,
astray,
isn't it?
Steve. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want anything back. That's enough. No, it's out of my hands. See, where's that money I posted it? You go find it.
All right? I love that.
I want nothing back. But anyway, it's been the pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I'm about to show Tanya my handwriting, right? Can you read that? All right. So if Tanya can read it, it means it will get to its destination.
It looks fine to me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Okay.
I've only ever seen you do, like, you do a lot of doodling in the studio.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think a picture of that was going to get anywhere.
Like,
it's actually scribbling. Not bad handwriting.
Really?
No. Like, it looks to me like someone, like...
Like a doctor's handwriting.
Like a doctor-ish. No, it's actually more. It's actually better than a doctor.
Okay.
You don't complete some of your letters.
No, that's me. The only thing I'm used to signing is my name. Yeah. And you know how by the end of it, you just get a bit, carefree with it.
Yeah, yeah, but there's no.
Okay, so that reckon that'll get to its destination.
Oh God, yeah.
No need for my name and address on the back.
No, it'll get there just fine.
There you are. Okay. Oh, isn't that funny that like to know each other that long and for her now again. Back in the older days, of course we'd know how each other's handwriting.
I actually like the
way would see each other's handwriting.
I actually like your handwriting.
You know what's the bad part about it, though? What? Notice because I'm left-handed and it goes a little backwards.
It does. I was going to say that. You slant your...
The opposite way.
Yeah.
It goes backwards. So, and remember, my left hand's coming through. There was not a book or anything like that that I had at school that wasn't smudged.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's lovely handwriting.
Because your hand comes across it.
No problem.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. See, no need for me to have my...
Your anxiety, put it to bed.
Well, that's right. Well, that's good because I actually got another envelope with a stamp on it and sent it to you. Because I went, I've never posted Tanya a letter.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you serious? I thought you were joking.
No. So did I.
What'd you write in?
I just put $5 in it, mate. Happy birthday, darling. And then I can go, oh, I said that ages ago.
Oh, he's playing that trick, right?
Yeah.
I'll be waiting by the postbox for my $5.
Bloody hell, in hindsight, I should have got Merry Christmas.
That's Triple M.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up loud because Tanya ran.
Hey, it's 12 million on Oz Lotto tonight, right?
12?
Yeah. Just thought I'd mention that because we were having this little debate on Saturday night.
Yep.
We were up at Chris Isaac in the Vineyards and waiting for him to come on and we...
You and Michael?
Michael and I. And he said, quick, buy a Lotto ticket. Last time we came to Chris Isaac, we won something. It was some ridiculous raffly thing up in the Vineyards.
Okay.
So he said we could be lucky. So get a Lotto, Oz Lotto ticket or whatever it was. So I did that. And as the conversation went on, I said to him, how much would we need to win tonight for neither of us to go back to work? Like, what's your figure?
Oh,
what do you think the number is? Because you can say, 10 million, 5 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, in all honesty, what's the minimum amount that you would need, do you think, to last out the rest of your life to win before you'd not go back to work?
Oh, good question.
So we threw it around. Michael's magic figure was $800,000. I don't know how he arrived at it. He just said, I've done the quick calculation. I reckon 800,000 would see me out.
Okay.
I thought he'd want a bit more than that.
So
maybe.
Did I.
I don't think he thinks like me.
Well, you're not going to have that many years left. Is that what you're thinking?
How long are you going to live for?
I was more thinking the simple life, of which he's very much in favour of.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know.
He won't be like travelling around the world sipping champagne.
No. This is, the question is not to have a high life, it's how much to actually just go, no, I'm done, and I can absolutely walk away from it all with this much money.
Mm.
What do you think?
If you've got a figure in mind, you can always join us, 133353.
I'd have to say I'm a tad over, Mike's.
Are you? Yeah.
But not a lot. You know, it's different how you think, isn't it?
Well, again, can I just remind you of the filter? It's not to buy a yacht.
No,
it's not to change your house. It's not to do all those things. It's simply to go, I don't want to work, but I need some money to tick over.
2 million.
2 million, you reckon?
I reckon two.
Okay.
That would be to pay off mortgages.
Yeah, I was going to say, pay off loans.
Pay off loans. And then, two. Again, though, it if you think about it, like how many years, you know, it's $100,000 a year.
Steve's doing the little equation.
So what, you're giving yourself another 20 years, Steve, by those calculations?
No, I'm going to live high for another 5, mate. See, and here lies the difference between how you and I think. I'll just skimp and save for another 20. Nah, go on, 5. But yeah.
$2 million.
We always do that, well, what happens when you spend it? Something will happen. It has to.
Yeah. Yeah, you won't go hungry.
So two
million for Steve.
I am shocked at mine.
Yeah, he's happily. I don't know whether that includes me. I don't know whether.
I was actually going to ask because I'm thinking myself and I'm going, well, is Lucy still at work?
No, this is the two of you to not go to work ever again.
You see, mine's just me. Yeah. And my kids, obviously, but apart from BJ, they kind of look after themselves. So mine's just me.
All right, 800 versus go 2.
Yeah.
What's yours, Rise?
Oh, I'm thinking, like, my mortgage is pretty steep. I've got 4 kids that are, youngest is only 2.
Tenure.
School.
Why did you ask him?
I don't know. Hey,
I need a calculator.
All right, Tenure, have a think.
You know when I look at you and I do that pretending slicing in my throat? That means don't ask Risey.
I need at least 2.5.
2.5?
Yeah. You're kidding, mate.
3, okay, 3.
That won't get you to December.
Aiden's at Toronto. How much would you need to get to walk away from it all, Aiden?
$2 million.
$2 million.
Oh. Put it into investments at a low end, 3% per annum. That's a $60,000 income per year.
Oh, he's got it worked
smart
out.
Smart man.
See, I rounded it up to 100 a year. Like he thought, though.
Yeah.
Said $2 million. 20, yeah. Like, you know, I know you said 20 years ago. Yeah. That won't be the case.
Yeah. But see, Aiden was investing his, Steve. He wasn't blowing it at the bolo.
Excuse me. Excuse me. There is a trip to Vegas.
Okay.
All right. There's a trip to Vegas where I'll put a bit on red.
Yeah, exactly.
Peter's at Corlette. Peter, how much would you need to win to walk away?
$500,000.
Oh, you're cheap to keep?
You're going
to
move in with Michael.
Nah.
What? How would you spend it, Peter?
Extended. Oh well, trips to Greece, things like that. Just park up, do nothing. Like you said, a simple life.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot.
You don't need a lot. Oh, well, Peter's parking up on a $500,000.
Mm.
I like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Crikey.
And he needs a beer and a sausage, and he's happy.
Nah, simple as. Hello, Barry. What's your figure, mate?
$500,000.
There we go.
Another one. And how would you make that work for you, Baz?
Well, I'm 60. Next Monday, and I've got 7 years to get to a pension, so at $50,000 a year, $1,000 a week for the next 7 years, then I've got a little bit left over in case.
Barry, do you know how much the pension is?
Yeah.
How much? I don't. I'm asking legit.
I think it's for a married couple somewhere around the 800 or something.
Okay.
A bit more than that. I'm working on my mother-in-law at the moment, but she's single now, but we've worked out we could live on the pension.
Okay.
Is it means tested though? They're going to look at that $500,000 in your bank account and not get it, or it's not?
No, but
you'll spend
by the time I get the pension age,
it's gone.
That'll be gone.
Yeah. Okay, you really thought about it.
Yeah,
thank you, Barry.
Nice one, Barry.
Love it.
$500,000 seems to be popular.
Yes. Seems like Michael was splurging.
Do it, David.
I'm just greedy.
David's at Maryland. How much would you need to get to walk away?
Yeah, well, I work very closely with my financial advisor because the way I look at it is for every $1 million you have, you can earn 7 to 8%, so that's 70 to 80 grand a year.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I would be comfortable with a mil as long as I have no other debt, and then you could live comfortably on 70 to 80 grand a year.
How long have you been married to your financial advisor, David?
Well, we're pretty close.
look, there's that too. That was in our parents' the investment, that, didn't they?
Yeah.
We're in the bank, get the interest.
Yeah. It's a good idea, though, isn't it?
Oh, well, that's how kind of, it works.
Mm. Did you bet back a figure for $800,000?
No, I've never thought about it. I just blow my money as soon as it comes in. Yeah, it's gone.
None of this is a surprise, the investment word. Like, it's been around for a long time.
What is it, that, Steve?
Rising, I can't even spell it, mate. I don't know what you're talking about, investment. What's yours?
So
he said, all right, $800,000. You said, oh, okay, well. Mm.
I like David's theory. A million. Pop it in the bank and try and get some interest and just try and live happily, without stress. But, I mean, I don't know what you'd do.
So does every bank do that in a thing called interest? I'm actually curious.
You know what?
Well,
again, I got a letter from ANZ the other day. Mate, you honestly, the interest rates are through the roof. You put money in a fixed account, you can get up to 0.3%.
That's what I thought. Like, is it actually worth doing that?
Well, it's getting better. Put it that way.
Okay, that's good.
like 20, 30 years ago, remember,
oh,
fixed
great.
Account, you'd almost, what, 5, 6, 7? Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, wow.
0.4%. Yeah. Just sit back and watch your money grow, don't you?
It's tenure and Steve Trimble.
Work Locker, Warners Bay or Morrissey.
Talk about forward planning. This would do my head in if I worked at a footy club, because we're only 6 rounds into the NRL, still 21 to go, 6 months till the grand final. Plenty to worry about for this year. Already there's been a flurry of player movement for 2025. So in the last 48 hours, the Panthers have let the best player in the world, international golden boot winner James Fisher-Harris, leave the club. He's going to the Warriors, who are losing their front rower to the Cronulla Sharks. Penrith could also lose one of their wingers to the Dragons, who have just let Zach Lomax go to Parramatta on a 4-year deal. So the Premier's now looking at poaching a forward from the West Tigers, while the Roosters announced Joey Manu is off to rugby in Japan. Even the Knights are getting involved, signing winger James Shillett from Canberra. This is all for next year, happening on a quiet Tuesday and
That's
Wednesday
weird,
in April, 11 months from the next season kickoff.
I don't like it.
Mm.
Mind you, that sort of movement is nothing compared to life at the Bulldogs, who the Knights play this weekend. Mm. They don't have a single player left in their top 30 from 4 years ago and have used nearly 100 players in the last 6 years.
Wow.
So player agents, like forget real estate agents, player agents are having a field day, and just like the housing market, the NRL player market is supercharged. So don't underestimate how good a job Peter Parr has done at the Knights to lock down Bradman Best, Tyson Frizzell, Leo Thompson, Greg Marju, the Safidis. He's kept them all in the last 12 months and pinched a few from Penrith as well. But recruitment is as important as the coach these days, and everyone is on the market for the right price.
It's weird, isn't it?
Stressful.
Yeah, well, yes.
So players announcing their movement a year out, like Jerome Luai did before the season even started, that he was going to the West Tigers. It's really weird. Mind you, the alternative, you look at something like the A-League, I think there's around 100-plus players who go out of contract in the next 2 months and have their Mad Monday not knowing whether they're staying or going. So that's all very much year-to-year contracts, and the insecurity and the unsurety for players there, the flip side of that, is really hard to deal with. So you can either go like the NRL and it's almost too far, and then the short term, and players really have no idea where they're going to be, you know, in a month or two. So.
Amazing.
Yeah, when he's poaching from Penrith, is that a bloke called Cleary?
Yeah.
That's the guy who's not on the market at any price. Thank you, JR. There's JR Spit on Sport. We hear it thanks to Work Locker. Warners Bay or Morissette every morning at 7:30. And don't forget, at Work Locker, they got 25% off cat workwear for a limited time. This is Newcastle's Triple M. Well,
we like to help out with the school holidays of giving suggestions.
Absolutely. And one of our absolute favourites, of course, is the Australian Reptile Park. We've got Ranger Mick here with us. Oh, no. No. I thought it was just a fly. I thought you'd set something loose in the studio.
Not quite yet.
Being radio, you might wonder what that was. You thought something was across the foot.
I did, because last time you came in, Ranger Mick, you let a bloody crocodile loose in the studio.
And remember I crawled under the desk and I grabbed your foot?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, a 19-foot crocodile, I believe, too.
A 19-footer. You sound like the marketing department.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, it must be so busy down there, because we know the Deadly Creatures is happening, the Fang Frenzy show, so you must be busy.
We're non-stop. I quite literally run from one show to the other right throughout the day. So, yeah, we're doing alligators every day. We're feeding the crocodile every day. We've got Komodo dragon in shows. We're milking snakes, Tasmanian devils. It just goes on and on and on.
So the Fang Frenzy one?
The Fang Frenzy one. Yeah, that's it's a good fun show that all the senior staff really like. So in that we're using Gila monsters, Komodo dragons, king cobras, rattlesnakes, king brown snakes. all that sort of funnel web spiders, all that sort of stuff. Everything that can kill you is in that show. Yeah.
The Komodo dragon that you have, is it like, are you scared? I mean, you're not scared of anything, but I mean, is it a ferocious little thing?
You haven't met my wife.
Actually, good point. What time's that show on?
From the moment I get home.
Well, there you go. There's a nice 7 o'clock show.
Look, we're not frightened of them. You've got to be wary.
Yeah.
And we've got several, but they're fairly calm most of the time. But it's about modes of behaviour. If they flick into what we call food mode, then it's a completely different animal. And that's when I had my favourite announcement, which is run for your lives. it's only the hearing impaired who get attacked.
Seems unfair. But well.
Oh, my God, Nick. Oh, my God. Because they've always fascinated me, that's all. That's why I bring them up.
They're the most extraordinary animals that you've ever seen. They're quite venomous.
Yeah.
They used to think, oh, it's nasty bacteria in the jaw. The bacteria is actually endemic to the environment rather than the animal's jaw itself. So if you're eating rotten water buffalo in the middle of Indonesia, then you're going to have nasty bacteria load. But it's actually venom, and it prevents you from clotting. And it lowers your blood pressure. So if they bite something like a buffalo, which is 20 times the size of our male, a single bite in the back leg, and then he's envenomated it. Now it can't clot, and he will just relentlessly follow it for a couple of weeks until it heals over.
Jeez.
And then it's go time. So you die of being eaten. If it was a tiger, it would kill you first, then eat you.
Yeah.
But Komodo incapacitates you. When you can't get up, bang, it's go time.
Wow.
And because you've been bleeding quite profusely, there'll be a blood trail 10 or 15 kilometres long, and every dragon that encounters that blood trail will sort of turn left and walk up the trail. And
my God.
There's a buffalo at the end, and there's 20 big adult dragons doing their thing.
And just seeing the kids listening going, we're going there.
We're going there.
We want to go there.
Straight up. Could bite the hand off a child very, very easily.
There you go, kids.
And we walk them on dog leads in front of the crowd. We do. We really do.
Oh, my God.
We're the only zoo in the world that walks Komodo dragons, and they're a very intelligent animal.
That's a big thing, even just that.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. So to put them in harness, we quite literally just show them the harness, and they'll step into it.
Like a puppy would.
Pretty much like a dog.
Like a gentle leader.
No chance. Wow. You can't.
No, I can't take a Komodo for a walk.
Not having a pet. Come on.
You've got pillowcases in front of me, which is always what's in front of you.
I was frightened the show would be boring, so I brought a pillow.
Is this a deliberate setup of the microphones, Risey, that I'm the buffer between?
Yeah, you're right.
Tenure.
Thanks to Ranger Mick.
Yeah, great. Yeah. All right.
You can go first.
I brought a couple of quite harmless things. These are for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've got here is a little bearded dragon.
I love little dragons.
This is a entry-level pet for a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Beautiful little animal. And as you can see, very, very calm. He's flattening himself out of my hand because my hand's radiating body heat.
Oh,
and he wants to stay warm.
Okay.
So, and now, that on your hand?
Tell me, are these, because I know a lot of pets, that it's becoming more and more, and these are okay, or you need a permit, or
you need to have a license to keep any reptile, and there's various different categories of license. National Parks and Wildlife Service, and basically you just post your money and you get the paperwork back.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then, you get a license number,
feel,
which is essential.
Feeling
and
the
then,
hands, Tico.
No,
you're
right.
Feels really nice.
I've got a cute little corn snake here.
Yeah,
this is
go.
Actually an American species, and they're actually becoming quite problematic here in Australia because people keep them illegally and they escape, and they can digest food at very cold temperatures, so they don't slow down in the wintertime. So.
I do need to point out, though, we are in media. It's not the first time we've had a snake in the studio.
Is he cold?
He's wearing a suit.
Not really cold. This one's probably about 25 degrees or so.
It's a bit of a slithery one, that one.
He is. He's quite
active.
A mobile one. Yeah, he's actually a very calm little snake.
It's funny in comparison inclusive. Because I have been over the... this year it's been talked about. I've been trying to describe an average size of a sea snake, and would it be fair when I say that's the one I kind of know?
Yes.
Would that be fair to say, though, if you know what I mean?
Sea snakes tend to be around the metre mark or slightly less. And they're fairly frequent visitors here in Newcastle, actually.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And usual thing, never touch a snake. You know, even if you think it's dead at the into tidal zone, mm-hmm. very good chance it's not, and you can really come a cropper. So
now this one you got here, deadly?
No. This is the entry level pet in the US. Corn snake. Yeah, so a beautiful looking little snake.
Yeah,
but a little bit problematic here in Australia. You know, we're mad keen for you to have a pet snake, but we want you to keep an Australian species. So
okay,
that's the way to go.
Because growing up, it was always the carpet snake. If you had a pet snake for some reason, the carpet. They're going there with a little. Feels weird, T.
Very popular.
Does.
Pets.
Yeah. He's very cold, poor little thing.
He's a little bit cool this morning. Yeah.
We need a little jumper for him.
Nah, he's warming up in your hand.
Is he?
Yeah.
Sorry for him.
Tina's already getting him an outfit.
Hello.
They're all the go in America at the moment.
I've seen that a lot.
Several years ago, there was a film, Mims Island.
I remember that.
I think it was Jodie Foster, I think, maybe. And they filmed it here in Australia. Mm-hmm. They had lots of local reptiles. And America just went absolutely bananas.
But it's interesting, too. It's very much a teen pet, too. They're loving it. Yeah. The teens, you know, aren't you notice that?
Oh, very much so.
That age group are really into it, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's funny. The reptile thing tends to be a passion that stays with you.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of girls see the horse thing, and by the time they're 20, you know, haven't seen a horse in years.
Yeah.
Whereas the people who really fall in love with reptiles, it's a lifelong thing.
Yeah,
it
really is.
Are they an affectionate pet? Like,
Some lizards will certainly recognise you and communicate with you. And, look, you could tell yourself that's affection. But the reality is, no, don't have those higher-order emotions. So it's about modes of behaviour. Like the Komodo dragon, you're either threatened and frightened or not threatened and frightened, thinking about food or not. Now, the snake in my hand's not threatened, frightened, and he's not thinking about food.
No.
Now, if those things change, then he's quite happy to bite me. I did bring another snake.
What's the other snake?
Look, we'll have a bit of a go.
Okay. We'll have a go.
I'm concerned.
Let's see if he's going to attack anybody.
As we were putting the next snake in the bag yesterday afternoon, he latched onto my arm. Uh-huh. And it took us 20 minutes to get him
off. Really? With his fangs?
No, it doesn't have fangs. Oh. It's got a ton of teeth, though.
Okay.
Now, I have brought a spray bottle of methylated spirits.
Right.
And if it all sort of... I'll instruct you on how and where.
I prefer vodka, to be honest with you.
I want to get on the chair. Don't you let it go, Mick.
Nah.
Okay, this bag's a lot bigger than the last one.
And what's he called?
The one in here is called a black-headed python.
Righto.
And I've got a few of these. The one I wanted to bring was a gigantic, great, big, docile, sloppy old one that you could all have a photograph with.
And you should have.
But unfortunately, they put a big fat rat into him, so he can't work. So,
oh, jeez.
The other one.
There's a way to get a day off work, you saw. I've had a rat.
Ooh,
okay, look at this one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there you go. That's real deal snake going on there.
His black face is scary.
Yeah.
Is he... What would happen if he bit you?
He wouldn't let go, apparently,
for 20 minutes.
I don't know. I think the kiddies get a lesson in old English if it bites me. it's non-venomous, so it's just teeth. Now, this is a beautiful-looking snake. It comes from Central Australia. We find this one out in the desert, and he uses that shiny black head to stay warm in the desert.
Oh.
Now, and the way he does it is that he's too hot if he's on the surface, but if he's in a burrow underground, he's too cold. So you lie in the burrow and stick your shiny black head out. The sun heats up the blood in the head, and then you shunt or pump that warm blood around the rest of your body. And I suspect we're going to have the metho out in a minute or two.
Has he just bitten you?
Wrapped around my hand.
He's wrapped around your hand very, very tight, but has he had a bite?
Flicking the end of his tail.
Nah, you're wrapped. You're stuck.
What is that?
He hasn't bitten yet, but he's...
He's not happy. Is that really
he's
tight?
Moving into it. No, it's not too tight at the moment.
I like it, though, when the actual handler is going, okay, someone get the metho.
Problem's going to be when I go put him back in the bag. I've got to slide my hand out from inside the
corner. Will help do that one.
He's a little bit, he's a little bit nervous. This is a questionable choice.
You
for,
are so lucky,
mate.
You are so lucky that you are with three reptile experts here that can help you with anything you need.
Do we call 000 if you get bitten?
Nah. You don't. You just laugh.
You laugh.
Okay.
Laugh.
Well, you turn on the webcam. I think that's what you do.
We are filming this, so fingers crossed he bites out.
Well, Mick, it's always great to see you. Thank you so much for bringing your friends in.
Thank you. And, look, I brought you a couple of these.
Oh, Family Passes.
Family Pass. Yeah, nice.
I do indeed. Yes, I didn't know whether to say it or not because amazing. I thought these guys.
It's cool if you want a couple of family passes.
Yeah, 1-333-53.
Oh, go down and see
two
Mick.
Of those for you there.
Maybe.
Thank you so much.
If he can extract himself, he might be there at work today.
That's it. Yeah, come and see us down at the Reptile Park. Where, yes. You know, every day of the year, of course, but lots and lots of extra stuff on during the school holiday run.
And don't worry, if anything happens, I'm sure there's other people that can do the shows when you. Finally get through this.
Good on you, Ranger Mick. Thanks for coming to join us in the studio this morning.
My pleasure, guys.
From the Australian Reptile Park, we love having him all over the school holidays.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up, loud enough,
We were thinking about an intervention on the show for Risey, but there'd just be too many. We'd do one a week, wouldn't we, Tanya?
Pretty much.
We've only just got over his sports bet one. But this one we thought about, the golf obsession's getting out of control.
A little bit obsessed with golf, Rise.
Oh, I'm addicted. It's a full-blown addiction. It's all I think about. I wake up, think about it. I'm doing practice swings in the kitchen.
I found a little name I sent to Tanya to go, I think this pretty much described for when we bring it on the show, so you listening will understand where Risey sits with this. So have a listen. This is Risey's first day. I know it's not him, but this is his first day on the course.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite, but I'm kind of bored. Golf's not for me.
This is the perfect shot.
I'm going to devote my life to this.
Yeah.
Every weekend, for the rest of my days, I will be here chasing that feeling. Thousands upon thousands of dollars on gear and green fees. Questionable time management when it comes to my family. I will do what it takes. This is my life now. Welcome, brother.
It only takes that one perfect shot and you're hooked, right, Rise?
Yeah, then you hit 30 bad ones, want to give it up, then you hit one more good one, you're like, I'm back.
Yeah, there's also something called, it only takes that really one first nice drink and that really first big bet win.
Yeah, exactly, it starts the addiction.
Yeah, but so we thought, okay, because he's, you know, now he's buying all the gear, isn't he?
Yeah. All the gear, no idea still. But
all the gear, no idea.
Yeah.
Have you got a friend, or admit yourself, that you're one of those people that take up a sport casually, but suddenly you turn up with about 90 grand worth of gear on you?
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. 1-333-53. It's a no judgment show, so we won't be judging.
No.
We'll be tenuring today.
It's what when you've spent a fortune but didn't stick with it.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be sport. It could be something
could
around
be like a musical
that,
instrument or it something. Could it be?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a mate who's exactly that pocket you're talking about, except he's a bit both. But Queensland Brett. Now I know it's stand-up paddle boards. Of course, he got one of those. But remember the windsurfers? He stood up with the sail, but on board.
Yeah.
And it was on. Yeah, right into that. And a couple of weeks, I moved on now. And guitars.
But he sticks with those.
Just straight in, full on.
Okay, so do you know anyone like that?
1-333-53, give us a call right now. So far, I've spent $1,050.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, but it's Facebook Marketplace, thanks to Chris up there at Thornton for giving me a good deal.
Yeah.
Slashing about $500 off his asking price.
And this is what happens. Sometimes they even use their radio show to get cheaper gear.
So have you or know someone, or maybe it's you, spent all the money but didn't stick with it?
Gabby from Madawi's given us a call. Hey, Gabby.
Hey, guys.
Is this you, Gab?
Yes.
What did you spend it on?
I am still going with it, but table tennis.
Oh.
Table tennis. Didn't know that could be costly.
Did I?
Yeah, they got a table tennis table at work, so I started doing twice a week little secret lessons, and I bought myself a $160 bat.
Oh. Hang on a sec. You've been taking private lessons so you can smash your co-workers?
Maybe, maybe not.
Is there a table tennis teacher out there? Is there? I didn't think that was a profession.
Is there a headband thrown in, mate, amongst all of this you're paying out?
Yes, I've got the wristband.
There you go. There you go.
I'm actually with Risey, though, Gab. Like, I didn't realise that there were people out there that were selling themselves as table tennis teachers.
Absolutely. Her name is Yoko, and she's amazing.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And I'm telling you now, if I saw that name, that's the one I'd ring.
Absolutely. Has your game improved, Gabby?
Oh, out of sight. I couldn't even recognise myself 6 weeks ago.
Wow.
Only 6 weeks too, Gabby?
Yeah.
On what you paid for your paddle, is there a really top class one you're looking forward to getting there?
To be honest, she actually got it custom made for me, and I'm loving it.
There you go.
I think this will do me for a while.
Who knew there was such a thing as a custom made paddle board?
You know what? I'll guarantee you, you will see Risey's golf clubs on Facebook Marketplace today.
Because I'd love to see you play Risey, Gabby, because we have a tournament here at Triple M.
Undefeated.
And Risey is undefeated. He gets all the money every time.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'd love to have a game. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm going to get Yoko to give me some lessons.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going to have to swear it a secrecy.
Exactly.
Thanks,
I will.
Gab. John's at Cessnock. What have you spent all the money on and now don't do it anymore, John?
Golf.
Oh. Now, again, John, how much did you pay for your clubs and all the gear and then gave it up?
I bought 3 sets of golf clubs, different brands, spent heaps of money, smoked the pot, and then one day a guy said to me in the clubhouse, Johnny, you can't buy the game, you've got to learn to play it.
And you were out at that point, were you, John?
That was it. That was me. Golf.
There you go. Now, have you still got all the gear or did you manage to sell it? Because we know we've got a good buyer with Risey here. Have you got to get rid of some?
I've got the gear. I may make a comeback. Tiger Woods did.
John's making a comeback to a career he was never any good at.
Exactly.
Love that.
That's what you do.
That's great. I love it. Do you know, the only thing that I've spent a whole bunch of money on, and I hate having to walk past it in the garage
every
day.
Oh, I was going to bring up the motorbike.
No.
Oh.
No, I sold that.
Sorry, that means two. Sorry, Danielle.
No, I have to walk past it every day, and if I have to walk past it with my husband, I get this look. Because he knew this would happen, and I swore blind it would not.
What?
During COVID, because the gyms were shut, remember?
Yes.
I bought one of those Total Gyms off the TV.
I remember.
$3,500.
Yes.
I paid it off, that you were allowed to pay it off. I paid it off over 10 months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it sits there, and it's a very good drying rack for when you don't want to put your underwear outside.
Absolutely.
Money well spent.
Yeah. I think so.
Did you put it next to the motorbike?
What about the canoe?
I like the chain. You forgot about the motorbike when I rented.
It's tenure, it's Steve.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up loud and clear, cause tenure and Steve
is Triple M breakfast. Screaming Jets, that is better. It's 8:25, Newcastle's Triple M. Tenure and Steve and Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets. We know we've been talking about it. He's going to be performing live at our 10th year birthday party tonight at Harrigan's Cameron Park. If you'd like to join us, 133353. Give us a call right now.
Hey, thanks for coming, Dave.
Hey, mate, I cannot wait, guys. You should have a 10-year anniversary every year.
Well, it gives you a chance to come home to Newey.
Indeed.
And say hello to the fam.
Absolutely. I actually went to the Clarendon Hotel last night and I won the music bingo.
I thought you were going to say you won the karaoke. I'm going to say, that's not fair. Imagine walking to a pub and Dave's on karaoke going, oh, hang on.
What did you win for the Claro music?
$30 bar voucher. It was awesome.
Took you
I
back,
haven't won
didn't
anything
it?
For a long time.
Took you back. Hey, are the family still in Cardiff, mate, or where, like, all about, or where?
My dad's in Lake Macquarie.
Right.
He was the last bloke living in Cardiff until about 10 years ago, but he's in Lake Macquarie. I'm actually going to go and hook up and have lunch with him today.
Oh,
beautiful.
So nice. Well, you know, make sure it's a teetotaling lunch because we need you in fine form tonight.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Remember, it's only 10 years. Don't give us a Gleeso from 30 years ago, mate.
Throwback Gleeso.
Throwback Gleeso.
You got no idea the excitement that people are feeling knowing that you're going to be there because it's almost, you know, there's about 200 people in the room, so it's almost like a private audience. Mm.
Excellent. That'll be fantastic. I can't wait. Congratulations, you guys. I know people think pretty easy doing your job, but 10 years, getting up at Sparrows every day for that long, you guys are absolute champions.
Well, it's funny too, and a lot of will know because you were here through and everything, but, you know, you kind of slid into radio yourself, didn't you?
I did. I'm actually looking at the old New FM building for across the way here. I'm staying in the old council chambers. And, yeah, look, I love radio and the fact that we've been supported so well by it. And I've got my chance to get on and bang on. 1997, I think, was the first time I started off at the ends in Sydney. So
amazing.
It's been a while.
God. Okay, that's incredible. Well, Dave, how's the council chamber building though? How's the new Crystal Brook Kingsley? Not bad.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's amazing. The last time I was in here, I was paying rates for in Derby Street.
You know, when you see the rooms, Dave, you see the rooms, right, and you go, really? They had this view for how long?
I know.
Yeah, that's right. It's amazing.
I know.
A beautiful spot. Lovely people as well.
Hey, who's playing with you, Dave?
Jimmy.
Yep.
The great Jimmy Hockey. He and I love to put on a bit of a comedy show as well as a rock show. And Paul Elliott, who's done an amazing job filling in for Paul Wozine, he's going to come along and play as well. So
yeah, that's great.
It'll be the three of us making as much noise as we possibly can.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, well, thanks, Dave. Can't wait. See you tonight.
Awesome. Can't wait, guys.
Oh, yeah, Glazo.
There's Dave Gleeson going to do a set for us tonight.
It's so weird, isn't it, when you know who we're all this age is like. No, he'll turn up on time.
yeah, he will. No dramas these days.
None of that running around, you know, going, where are they?
I even believe Gleeson might be doing a sound check as well earlier in the day. So he's being professional. Very professional.
The world's gone mad.
Well, Chris at Stockton, you're going to be there too.
Yes, oh, my God.
Yes, hello. Chris, you're going to be there, mate.
Oh, my God, I've been trying for the whole time, and this is the last chance. How exciting.
Well done.
Who are you going to bring?
Oh, I better bring my husband.
Okay.
Well, someone's got to lift home, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, we'll see you tonight.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Chris. See you there, Chris. Harrigan's, Cameron Park, your new local for food and fun. And the Crystal Brook Kingsley, we've got to say, you can stay there. 5-star luxury for your next staycation as well. That's where Gleeso's staying. He's loving it. Loving his time there.
Did you think that, you know, I know recently, because you have dinner and everything, you know, did you think, this is where I used to pay my rates while you're having your meal?
Steve, I said that to Lorcan's girlfriend. Did you know, Lily, that it was only a couple of years ago we'd come in here with council complaints and rates?
We're going to strap that under the folder of, you know, your old win.
Triple M.
Found cheap storage. Electra-Dry self-storage will beat the price by 20%.
The most popular entertainment.
We're here to be entertained. That's entertainment.
What's on today, mate?
Oh, look, Bluey has made news around the world again.
Yeah.
And this is all because of this finale episode. So much came out of it. Mm. But I was curious to know whether you knew the road rule that is featured in this latest last episode.
I don't. And I do remember asking you this a few years ago, actually.
Well, if you haven't seen it, Risey, do you want to tell everyone? Because you're the only one of us that's seen it in full.
Yeah, so...
Our expert.
So Chili, the mum, is driving in the car with Bluey, the main character, in the front seat without a...
How old's Bluey?
I think maybe 7 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7. And all the cousins and sister are in the back seat. So there's no spare seats. And Bluey's riding up the front with no car seat.
Mm.
And gets pulled over by police in this episode.
And I always wondered, when can we whack him in the front?
Well, isn't it interesting? Because even Queensland Transport... Their social media lit up with people going, oh, my God, is this true or is this just part of fiction?
And
Queensland Transport had to issue a notice saying, it's all right, everyone chill out, because Chili, Bluey's mum, was in the right.
Aha.
So the rule is, and it applies in New South Wales as well, I had a look. So if you have a child between the age of 4 and 7 and there is no spare other seat in the back of the car, that child aged 4 to 7 can legally ride in the front seat.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, neither did I.
I never in a million years would have thought that was the case.
Neither did I, Ryze. Yeah.
No.
So that's the rule.
Okay, but it's got to be because the back's full.
You can't just stick them in there. If there's a spare seat in the back, you have to put them in the back.
See, that one to me was how old before you can put them in the front. Because what's weird to me too is size.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
so
some kids are different sizes.
Yeah, he was 6'3" when he was 8.
So I'd imagine the answer is 8 then.
Yeah, probably.
Because if it's up till 7, that they have to sit in the back.
Yep.
From 8 on, they can obviously sit in the front.
The one I'm jealous of, and I guess is I'm jealous of it because I see so many reels of in America where their dog can sit next to them up front.
Yeah.
And apparently you can't do that here.
Not supposed to, no.
Well, I always put my dog in the front seat.
Well,
you're
there
not
we
allowed
go.
To.
Didn't know that.
Supposed to be in the back and tethered.
There's nothing funnier than looking at a passenger boxer dog.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Sitting up like
yes,
a human.
Yes, sorry, my mistake. A bulldog. But apart from that, but yeah, I was told, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Right, he didn't care. He
no, obviously. Yeah. Molly rides shotgun.
Molly does ride shotgun, yep.
There's nothing better. Bugger the kids.
Yeah,
the dog up there.
There's our wee spot. Thanks to Electro.
The car too was a dog.
Self-storage. If you can find cheaper storage, they'll beat it by 20%. Tanya and Steve's. Take that.
Rewind it back. Throwback Thursday. In the vibe, of course, our party tonight for celebrating 10 years together, T. But, you know, we got talking during the week and thought, I'll bring it on the show.
Mm.
You know, is the 21st kind of dead? Or does it still happen?
Don't know.
Because the throwback, most of us would have had one.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't really have a 21st.
Right.
I didn't really have an 18th either. No, I didn't have either.
I didn't know how sad this was going to get.
So I was just trying to think. I didn't have either.
Jerry, bring in the couch. Bring in the couch.
And while you're at it, a cake and a candle. No, use the anniversary cake. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Did you have one?
I had a 21st, no 18th.
No 18th.
No, but a 21st, mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, okay. I had one.
Right. Apparently.
Can't really remember.
Can't remember it.
Not a lot.
No.
Rising 18.
You know what, though? It was backyard tent kegs.
Oh, okay.
Old
that
school.
Was so typical of the ones that I went to back in the day.
Absolutely. And then, this is for the kiddies, when it got to about 11 and all your gutsy friends drank the kegs, you'd go around with a hat. And people would put the money in and someone would do a bottle run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I don't know. Did Lorke 21st, didn't have. Did he have 21st?
No, it was COVID. Couldn't even get near him.
Of course it was.
He celebrated his 21st in Queensland on an island because Queenslanders were allowed to travel. So all his mates, I paid for it. I gave them money.
Oh, yeah, I remember you did that. Yeah,
and they took him to an island.
Yes.
But he had an 18th here in Newcastle.
I remember that one too.
Yeah.
Did you have 21st?
I had an 18th and 21st, and exactly like you said, backyard/garage party. You know what I mean? Like all your friends coming over with, I don't think we had kegs. I think we just had parents just chucked in and got cartons.
Yeah.
Would you more lean, though, on the fact that it's really about 18 now and the 21st thing was kind of, I get it. You were allowed to drink and vote and all that a billion years ago.
But that doesn't apply at all. So that's the question. What are you guys doing right now? Are your kids looking forward to an 18th or a 21st?
1-333-53. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you.
Are you still doing a Stuart thing and having both? I know some people do have both still.
Yeah, yeah.
But which is it? I mean, I don't get the 21st because, like you said, it was a back-in-the-day thing.
Mm.
So...
Yeah, it is... Look, I think it's all ridiculous. Not the parties. I'm fine to have an excuse for any party, but it's like, you're 18 now. You can drink and vote. Yesterday, when you were 17, you had no idea.
No.
But today, you're a genius.
Yeah.
The whole age thing's weird, isn't it? But I think it's all about 18 now.
I probably do too, because there's nothing that changes once you're 21.
Well, not unless you live in America.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Not here in Australia. We've got Shirley, who's given us a call on 1-333-53. Hey, Shirley.
18th or 21st, Shirley?
Shirley, I've had a 21st. That's okay, darling. I did a Steve. I had the backyard tent, which my fellow mates put up for me. Mm-hmm. I bought the first keg. The publican that we used to go to, he bought the second keg for me as a present. And then we threw the hat around for the third keg.
It's exactly the same. Yep. Isn't that funny?
Yep.
But then again, you don't hear of the keg parties anymore.
No, not at all.
It's not like you'd buy bottles, you reckon, if you're going to do something at home?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think it's because there's so many different options for beers these days?
Yeah. Probably.
Everyone's drinking something different.
Megan's at Belmont North. What do you think still happening, Megan, the 18th or the 21st?
I just had a 21st for my daughter and her boyfriend on this weekend.
Yeah.
And we just hired out the top of function room at the Dunya Hotel.
It tends to be the way we more go these days in general.
Yeah, security. Yeah. We had to hire security because they were 21 and it's all taken care of. Right.
Well, why the 21st and not the 18th? Or did they have an 18th as well?
They just went on a family holiday at
18. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because
it's more spoken about, isn't it? As in, if you had a 21st or whatever, and you'll hear, I'm going to bring that up at your 21st. I'm going to do that at your 21st. Yeah. It's kind of like a verbal thing as opposed to a reality of it meaning anything.
Yeah. The only issue I see with 18ths, Risey's taking photos of us. The only thing I see at 18th is that some of your friends aren't 18 yet. So if you go to a licensed venue, some can't have a drink.
True.
So that actually happened at our 18th.
Yes.
Because we hired a function room at a pub.
Yeah. Especially if you're 18 early in the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everyone else is turning 18 later.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
So that we were very aware of Summer Lorcan's mates couldn't drink.
Mm.
So that's why we did the pub thing for a few hours, had a person play and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Then went back to our house.
Yeah. But it was a good night, right?
It was a great night.
And, you know, the 17-year-olds, no way did they drink.
No, absolutely not back at mine. Because you're not allowed.
Yeah, of course you're not allowed.
That's what I love, though. Yeah. As I said, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, I know you're 17, 18 tomorrow.
Yeah.
But today, no.
I know. And that's why some do elect to have a 21st, because then everybody probably can have a drink if they want.
And hopefully, too, by the time you're 21, you've got less friends.
Yeah. Or they're
all
going...
those school hanger-oners.
Yeah, your true friends are there when you're 21.
Yeah.
It's Tanya and Steve. Newcastle's 102.9 Triple M, it's 12 to 9.
Build better at McDonald Jones, with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up louder, 'cause Tanya.